Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to part two of the Bloody Knuckles Show, PK Show 1 on Twitter. It is The Legend Has Fallen, The Legacy, Anderson Silva, plus MMA talk all around, matchups, Conor McGregor, all sorts of stuff being announced. It's the Cholo Gangsta versus the Irish Thunder. Who's going to win? So excited for that fight. More excited than I was for the Dos Anjos fight. That's how excited I am to see the Stockton slap against the Irish fucking, I don't even know what to call it, balance beam workout, motherfucking crazy shit. It is the Irish karate boxing. It is going to be crazy like that fight was tonight. On the line with me, I gave you the great introduction earlier. If you want to hear it, go to part one. It is the man that holds up that double deuce. He never has a truce. He has to come through and out-rap dudes like Pop Poose. He always leaves it loose. He is the man that knocked out Yoel Romero and made him go poo-poo. He is the dude, the train. When he comes through, he yells like he is fucking Seminoles running back, Mr. Choo Choo. Y'all know he is the dude that was originally supposed to be in D12 instead of Proof. He is Andrew Babe Ruth. Hit it out of the park. Yeah, he will come up and creep on you in the dark. It doesn't matter. He is rich like Stark. Y'all know he is the dude that has madness like he lives in March. It is Andrew motherfucking Paycheck King Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, what it do? I do like that. The Paycheck Kid getting paychecks. And like Ryan, I do have to say, and I will quote Drake, we are back at it again, back to back, back to back. And just for the people who haven't heard it, I got to say, it was pretty crazy. Drake, first single for his new CD. I think it's going to be on a CD. Summer 16. It was kind of funny, Ryan, because he actually rapped a little hard for Drake standards. I think for career advice for Drake, he doesn't need it, but don't try and rap hard, Drake. People will stop taking you seriously. But he dissed the fuck out of Meek Mill again. He was like, why are you screaming again? I trust you. We already heard you. He's like, we all heard you. Why are you so screaming?
That's so funny you say that, because today, me and my roommate and someone else we were with, they played three straight Nicki Minaj videos. And I looked at that beautiful Nicki Minaj and I said, God damn, if I was Meek Mill, I'd be pretty damn distracted too. That is one of the hottest female artists. And then, God, she is beautiful.
Woo!
But, you better come back hard, homie. You're getting Ja Ruled.
Real quick, Ryan, and this is where he even lost it, too. Then he dissed the fuck out of Tory Lanez. I guess he used to be in Drake's group or whatever. I really don't listen to Tory Lanez. I don't know. So, I mean, this probably made him more popular. He's got to be happy. And then, Ryan, Drake went on to diss Kanye.
Oh, pretty yeah. Soon. That's what I want. Fuck Kanye.
Then he compared himself to Jay-Z. It wasn't really a diss, but he rapped, I used to want to be signed to Rockefeller, but now I'm Jay-Z. Very interesting. Very interesting. And then, wait, I'm sorry, what did you say?
How hard did he go at Kanye? Was it some ether?
No, it wasn't very hard. He just, it's kind of funny, rapped. He was like, something about Kanye. He's like, I live by Kanye, and I got a bigger pool. Pretty much saying his house. He's like, Kanye's the man, or something. That's true. Well, I'll tell you, I live by him, and I'm saying I have a bigger pool, nicer house. Kind of a shot at Kanye's financial stability right now. Is pretty much saying how he makes money.
Good financial stability. Shout out to James Harden for getting dumped by Khloe Kardashian.
That's hilarious, but probably better for his career. Maybe Houston start winning, Ryan.
Dwight won't be jealous anymore.
Right?
Because Dwight can only get 16-year-olds.
But, Ryan, really funny. I got to admit, we got to touch him for the little swagger segment of part two. I saw this week, it has been funny. I follow Kanye West on Twitter because
what
some
a mess
of the shit was too funny. He is a hot mess right now, Ryan. And in my theory, if you document the career of Kanye, he lost it after that Watch the Throne album with Jay-Z.
Where he got out-rapped on every song?
Right, but I think that made him, like, the fact that, you know, he could start looking at Jay-Z as a peer, I guess, because they were together.
Yeah,
so
I think
egotistically, it made him really believe that he is, you know, Jesus Christ. And Ryan, in his tweet, he went on to say he's $53 million in debt from his back line, which is not surprising because he's selling a white tee
for $2 million. Mark Zuckerberg for money when Mark Zuckerberg say he doesn't know him.
Mark Zuckerberg, it's funny, he was very humbly, but he compared himself to, he was like, he's this generation's Walt Disney. He's the greatest artist ever. He doesn't have enough money to create. He went on to say, do not build schools in, somewhere in Africa. Give me the money instead. I'll do more with it. Ryan, this is just hilarious. And, of course, the internet, they're having so much fun with this, Ryan. Kanye is probably one of the most polarizing entertainers right now. You either love him or hate him. There's no in the middle. Sadly, his music isn't as good as it used to be.
I got just a one-liner for him, Andrew.
Let's hear it.
He's a mess of silly hoe, plus his girl's more famous from a Ray J sex video.
I got him.
Yes, sir.
Got him. But, Ryan, just to finish it up, get back on some of our other talk. As we're saying, this show is titled The End of the Era. Looking back at Anderson's last couple of fights, Ryan, I mean, do you truly think that this is the end? When he, you think the first loss to Chris Weidman, he got knocked out, but it was a fight. Everyone claimed, he couldn't have won if he wasn't joking around. He looked a better fighter. Then he breaks his leg, Ryan. He
wouldn't have won that fight either.
Then, the Nick Diaz, he looks good, doesn't look good, caught for steroids. But now the loss to Michael Bisping, is this too much? Is it officially end? Because after every fight, at least for me, there was a little flicker of hope, But after this one, is it officially over? Has it come full circle?
I knew it was officially over. When Ronda lost, I was so sad. If Conor would lose right now, I would be so sad. And there's been a lot of fighters throughout the line. Yes, GSP. I was sad, but it wasn't like when Anderson used to fight. I didn't have that feeling, the goosebumps, and I also didn't have that deep depression that I usually would have when one of my great favorites would lose, like when it would happen in the past. I just didn't have that feeling anymore. It was like I was thinking in my head the whole fight, man, it's like I'm watching this guy, like Ali, after he should have stopped fighting, like, I really thought, like, man, he's just why? Like, you should have stopped. You should have just stopped. That's really what I was thinking the whole time. Why are you going to London to take a fight with Michael Bisping on Fight Pass? That has to be the sign of an end of an era, Andrew. If anything is, it's you're taking a fight in London, not Brazil, your home where you should be fighting, or even, in front of huge crowds like you used to. No, you're fighting fucking Michael Bisping in his home turf on a 4 o'clock on a Saturday. That just shows, goddamn, if that's not the end of the era, then whew, it's just sad. And, the thing that makes it an end of an era is when you look at an all-time great and you say, can they bounce back and somehow be considered for a huge title fight or be considered one of the baddest men on earth once again? And I don't think Anderson Silva can ever do that. I don't see him being able to go on that type of run at his age. And I think that's what makes it officially the end of the Anderson Silva era. And out of the all-time greats, Andrew, we saw this happen to Fedor. He is making a comeback. But still, when you watch Fedor now, it's like, can he do a run like that? Is there even the opponents out there? He missed some of the big fights he could have had. But you got to think. I know I think he's coming back at UFC 200. But GSP, escaped. He was the only one really right now, except for the guys that are coming up, like Jones and McGregor. But Aldo also got fucking utilized. He could have been an all-time great. Rousey getting embarrassed like that. You got to think that GSP is that one guy who kind of escaped it all and went out on top. Do you think, like, speaking of end of the era, right now, if you were to list your all-time greats, does Anderson drop? And is GSP officially taking that top spot? We all know Jones and McGregor, you know, are nipping at the heels of all these guys, especially Jones and definitely McGregor right now, especially, too. But do you think that, you know, Anderson's doing a BJ Penn type situation or a Fedor, you know, where he's just rid Sakuraba, Vanderlei, rid Chuck Liddell, really hurting his legacy? Like, if you were to name your top guys, do you think of these fights and drop Anderson down a few points?
Ryan, well, for Anderson is still my, personally, he's still my number one. And, Ryan, another thing else that you're saying, end of the era, you know it's the end when I can safely say Anderson probably isn't even in the top 15 pound-for-pound fighters in the
No
US
way, he's
in the
pound-for-pound. Maybe top 15, 185.
Maybe,
no way,
yeah, but there's no way. He's not even in the top 20 pound-for-pound. But, Ryan, going on, Anderson, I think, you know, some people – as you know, everything in sports, they have their fighters, they have their... yeah, brother. Sorry about that. I got asked for directions. But going on, Ryan, some people, you know, everyone has the people they love and the people they hate. So I'm sure some people may have, you know, taken this and adjusted it, but I don't think it should. Also, Ryan, interesting topic to think of. People who have actually seen the fights, I might rather go out like Anderson than GSP because, you know, both crucial decisions. GSP got the nod probably because it was in Canada, a fight people watched that
GSP didn't test positive, though, too.
That is true. And he kind of went out like a girl. But I will say this, looking at their bodies of work, Anderson is still number one. Depending on, I think he has the leeway to lose maybe one or two more fights, two fights at max. But if he loses, like, you know, if he ends his career on, like, a four or five fight slide, kind of like Chuck Liddell, that is really going to hurt. As long as you don't get into the double digits in the loss columns, I think you're safe. But I don't think you can have more than nine losses. To be considered in all, you know what I mean? That's definitely going to hurt. And Ryan, right, very true. I do think, though, that GSP, I think if he could come back and win one more fight, that could, at least in my ratings, maybe boost him over Fedor. Because my tops are right now are still Anderson, Fedor, and then GSP.
Can I tell you why I got GSP number one now?
What?
And
oh, my God. I never thought I would have heard that from you.
I hate it. But I also think that John Jones and Conor McGregor, after one or two fights, will be one and two. I think there's an argument for Jones maybe even now. Not only did GSP... First, it just does a lot to a legacy. It's hard to jump anyone over Fedor when he beat seven, I think, UFC champions in his career. Also, one of the best K-1 fighters ever. But GSP, when you look at the body of work, beating the second best welterweight ever, Matt Hughes, twice, nasty, even though he has a loss to him. Beating BJ Penn, maybe one of the greatest, twice. Beating Nick Diaz, one of the best, once. Beating Carlos Condit, one of the best welterweights. Beating, basically, you know, dominating the division. Then, you know, beating the new school, like, you know, it's controversial, but he did beat Johnny. You know, you go down the line, you know, he beat old school, he beat new school. But to have those guys on your resume and then really just go on the type of run where he didn't lose a round for, like, 6 years, until finally, he also beat Jake Shields, who's a lot of people consider top five or six welterweight of all time, Koscheck twice, and the way he always, but he didn't lose a round for like 6 years until finally Jake Shields won one round from him. So, and then also I did not see GSP go and lose to Michael Bisping or get knocked out nasty or test positive for steroids. In my brain, I remember GSP just always dominating and then having a kind of shitty decision over Johnny Hendricks. Do I think GSP could come back like Anderson is now and take over the welterweight division again? Maybe. I think this is why GSP needs to come back, because I think the best matchup for him is Robbie Lawler. But when you get into like the Stephen Thompsons and the other guys in the division, he has beaten a lot of them, but there is a lot of guys that could give him trouble. So I think he's just more calculated. But overall, I got to say, like, if Anderson Silva wouldn't have tried to make this comeback, he did just have such a tremendous run and more of an exciting run. But I think GSP right now is my number one slightly. Now, if Anderson Silva can bounce back and maybe win a few fights, kind of like Fedor did, you know, beating Munson, Pedro Hizo, Ishii, now his last fight, and then fighting again. Anderson can come back and beat Bisping. He'll jump GSP again. And I think GSP can really cement it if he comes back and wins that title. But I just think not losing like that, like Hickson, everyone considers him one of the best of all time because he never lost. Floyd Mayweather, you know, those. I've never been big into it, Andrew, but looking at GSP's work, it is just a great, great resume, and not losing and not seeing him fall does a lot when I look at the resume. But I do think McGregor and Jones are going to knock all these guys off sooner or later.
That, you know, Ryan, I will say this, that when you break it down like that, it's a great argument. I never realized, you know, he went 6 years without losing a round. And honestly, Ryan, your argument that you have, so, because this is why it's so hard when you get to that, like, top three or top five to, you know, label them 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and it can't just be the five best. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
that's why we are the experts and insiders, and that's why they pay us the big bones to make these difficult decisions. But,
yes, sir.
Ryan, for me, it's very close. I just, one of the, like, honestly, Ryan, I think you can label them one or, like, you know what I mean? Both, are, in the end of the day, are acceptable as long as you have, you know, the top fighters in the consideration. Like, for me personally, though, it's just Anderson was so special. And the fashion in which he won and the way he did it is just, you know, it was something that, for me personally and people our generation, I don't know if we will ever see a fighter that sparks that same interest.
McGregor,
level. Of course,
maybe.
I would think, hey, the motherfucker got the transition before I could get there. We finally saw it. Now, Ryan, part of the reason why I liked Jose Aldo so much back in the day, because I thought he had that Anderson factor, that Fedor factor, and, you know, that factor did disappear when he went to the UFC. I hate to say it, but, you know, it did. When the UFC got into the picture, Jose Aldo became a shell of himself. I really don't know what happened.
Ronda
and I would love
too.
To see something mental. But, Ryan, we do finally have that factor.
Mm.
We've seen him win enough. He's been hated on and doubted pretty much his entire, you know, his entire stint. There, you people either love him or hate him because he's too ill, too quick-witted. I'm one of those people, any sports team in general, anything, an athlete, sometimes I like to just stop and appreciate the greatness when a great team is great. And that's kind of what you have to do with Conor McGregor at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Love or hate him, you have to sit back and, you know, appreciate the greatness. Well, on Tuesday, we got the heartbreaking news. Of course, it would come on Tuesday, the shittiest day in the work week. Tuesdays, fuck you, Tuesday, just getting it out now, the worst day ever. So Tuesday morning, get up, like, eight, you know, getting ready for work, like 8 in the morning, and I get the notification. I think the first thing I did was text Ryan while RDA pulled out. First question, Ryan, on the RDA injury, how do you, I mean, do you blame RDA for pulling out? His foot looked badly broken. What do you think about that with RDA? Do you think it was dumb? He was training that hard a week and a half to go before the biggest fight in his career. And Conor even said, he tweeted, it pissed Conor off because he even said later that, you know, there was a lot of bullshit attached with fighting RDA, and he doesn't know if he'll ever commit again for pulling out in 2 weeks. So what are your thoughts, first of all? We'll start with the stoppage and everything, the canceled card. The injury bug bites us again.
Not canceled,
though. What
are
your thoughts about, oh, well, not the canceled card, but the scratch fight.
Mm-hmm.
The scratch fight, sorry about that. What are your thoughts as far as, you know, how RDA, you know, handled it? Do you think, you know, dumb for training like that? You know, what are your thoughts? And if you were Conor, would you, you know, would you want to fight RDA again after what this happened? Does Conor have a valid point?
All right. Get ready, folks. Buckle up for this. First off, when I heard the news, unlike anybody else out there, all these champions were doomed pulling out with a hurt bag after Kane. And I will say Ronda Rousey and Kane both had it in them, the Anderson factor, Fedor factor, especially Ronda. But she did get that devastating knockout. But no one like Conor McGregor. When I hear, RDA pulled out, all I thought was, well, Conor's not going to pull out. Unlike any other fighter, he'll go up 35 pounds just to keep the show going. That is what makes this guy such an incredible just study.
Something we've seen Anderson do. Remember when Anderson saved that one card by fighting what's his
name? Yeah, but he wasn't even scheduled too, so that's like an Anderson move. But
that's
not
like the factor.
But I don't think we've ever seen someone like Conor who will go up 30 pounds. Like, that's like Anderson going to heavyweight. It's just crazy to, like, looking at his body, how different he looks in at 145. He totally took out a division other than Frankie, which, Frankie, you could have had the fight, and now you're injured. So I don't want to hear from you. And I don't think Conor should go back to 145. He looked like Skeletor. I think now that he's let his body build back up and he's fighting at another weight, I don't know if he should ever go back to 145. But as far as Dos Anjos, first, let me just say this. I'm sorry, buddy. Like McGregor said, if you put me under an x-ray, the doctor would say, what are you doing, guy? You should not even be attempting the fight. I'm sorry, but Dos Anjos, this was your chance. Like, I know broken foot, it's hard to fight with it. You know, you shouldn't fight with a broken foot, but it's too big. You shouldn't be taking the chances to where you are going to break your foot. And I smell something fishy because after Aldo did this, now RDA, and RDA was an overnight, he got absolutely destroyed by Khabib. He was not as good as all of a sudden he got. I smell something fishy. You know, the UFC is getting strict on steroid testing. Something fishy is in the water with Dos Anjos not wanting to get tested. I just feel it in my bones. I feel like he did not get the right cycle for his little steroids.
I'm focused on purpose. He's like, hey, man, hit my foot with this hammer.
Hey, somebody hurt me real quick. Hurt me. But if I'm Conor, because really what I was thinking coming up to this fight was fuck. Because honestly, when I look at that matchup, I don't like it for Conor McGregor. And all I was thinking was, they're going to ruin McGregor for UFC 200, where they really need him to be there, unless they've been thinking all along, oh, GSP is going to be there anyway. That's why we're not scheduling Robbie Lawler. Who knows? But, you know, now McGregor, in my opinion, is fighting the guy that should have had a world tour with them. Come on, it doesn't get better than Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz, how they're going to talk shit to each other in the ring, aggressive. It could turn out to be like one of the more exciting fights ever. I feel like this is the guy McGregor should have been fighting all along. They could have had these guys with, you know, prison glass in between them, talking on the phones, talking shit to each other. So imagine the world tour these guys would have had. It would have been absolutely nuts. Andrew, you there? Andrew? I do not know where Andrew Meredith is. Andrew Meredith. Hello. I guess Andrew Meredith was cut off. But what I was saying was McGregor. Sorry, I lost my chance.
Yo, I got back.
This is the
back.
Oh, wow. He is back. Well, I hung
my
up Andrew and
off.
Came back
I
on.
I
was saying
that, folks.
It's all good. I was saying that this is the fight that should have happened all along. And not only did McGregor come out and say, not, you know, he didn't tell Nate, you got to make 155. He's fighting Nate all the way at 170, a 30-pound jump. Now, I got to touch on these haters real quick. All I've been hearing, other than people that are praising McGregor, is people saying, oh, I'm tired of McGregor getting lucky, like Michael Bisping said, and fighting guys on 2 weeks' notice. Oh, I'm tired of him taking fights with guys with no training camp. Also, oh, I can't believe he didn't fight Frank Yeager. The fight got offered. Also, oh, I can't believe he didn't fight Cowboy Cerrone. First off, he was supposed to fight Dos Anjos. If he looks poor against Cerrone, and Dos Anjos just destroyed Cerrone, why would he even take that fight? And Nate Diaz destroyed Cerrone. So that fight is out of the question. Conor even addressed that. Then the other thing is, Aldo said he would fight Conor McGregor in a rematch anytime, anywhere, and this further diminishes Aldo's career. He got the chance. He was the first phone call made, and Aldo denied it. I'm sorry. That just shows that Jose Aldo does not want to be a fighter anymore. After going on Twitter and writing a full paragraph, I'll fight. I'm going to be training for the Dos Anjos fight because in case anyone drops out, blah, blah, blah. That is just shows you that Jose Aldo does really not, he really doesn't want to fight Conor McGregor. It's just the truth. But this is the fight, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to see all along. So I don't think Conor McGregor should even give Dos Anjos that chance. If he's able to beat Nate Diaz at 170, I don't want Conor McGregor to stay at 170 his whole career. But there is one fight that has historic significance, and that's Robbie Lawler. And I think that McGregor, stylistically, matches up very well against Robbie Lawler. I don't like him staying at that division. I don't like how he matches up against other guys at that division. But if he fights a guy like Lawler at UFC 200, he might as well stop everything because it doesn't get bigger than that. And I think that's the one fight at 170 that makes so much sense for him. I don't want to see him fight Dos Anjos, but I think he belongs at 155. Eventually, maybe, you know, Khabib will win, or I don't know. Eventually, somehow, maybe he will get that 155-pound title, work that out after UFC 200. But all in all, this is the fight. Everyone loves Nate Diaz, and this, I think, even made 196, maybe even bigger, because there's so much unpredictable. I mean, it was unpredictable with Dos Anjos, but with Nate, watching these guys, their styles, their trash talk, and you know it is going to be a stand-up war. Though I think McGregor is going to dominate because of his footwork, his speed, and his power, and Nate doesn't have the knockout power, I think it's just such an interesting fight, and both guys have such big fan bases. I think that this is just a special fight, and this is what makes Conor special. He fought on 189. He fought on 194, and he's already fighting again at 196. He is a true fighter, and as he said, he's doing something no one else did. He's making his own weight divisions, his own belts. And he is the only guy, I believe, even in history, that could leave the UFC. And if the McGregor show leaves, it stays just as big anywhere. Even by himself, he brings the crowd, not the UFC. I think he has all the power. He's the only guy that's making $5 million and making his opponents millionaires. He is basically the closest to Floyd Mayweather on a pay-per-view level with a Mike Tyson punch that, I don't know, MMA might ever get. I don't think he's going to get distracted. He loves fighting. McGregor truly is going to be one of the greatest, and hopefully he just doesn't get crazy going up in weight. He takes smart matchups and fights like the money weight. Basically, just takes the smartest, coolest matchups. Forget about having to defend belts or fight for belts. No, I just want to see the most exciting matchups for Conor McGregor. He is now that big in the MMA universe. Andrew, I fucking love 196 now. Fucking the Stockton slap, Nate Diaz with middle fingers up against Conor McGregor. the Irish leaf, the clover leaf versus the marijuana leaf. You gotta love it. Andrew, I know I had a big spiel about it, but was there anyone out there, other than the guys who denied it because they were injured, that you would have rather saw Conor fight than Nate Diaz? And how do you think that fight goes?
First off, Nora, I got to agree. Nate Diaz was the best matchup, and they hit it out of the park. Something I found very funny, I didn't want to bring up, you know, I thought it was funny. Khabib, you know, they offered Khabib this fight, and he turned it down, and that's probably Khabib would probably be one of the last fighters I would want to see Conor fight, just because
really?
Of his style. And, you know, you got to think if Khabib won that fight, he's in line for a title shot. You know, all the bitching that Khabib does about getting a title shot. Yeah, all the bitching he does, and then the golden ticket, you got the phone call and you denied it. And the stuff with Aldo, I think that just says everything. Aldo, I feel like he's just praying that Conor will officially move up with weight so he can come back out and get the 145 belt. But, Ryan, as a Conor fan, I got to say, I hate to say it, but I'm almost a little relieved because I was very scared going to that fight.
Me too.
And furthermore, to touch what you were touching on, you know, saying he got a golden ticket and whatnot and, you know, trashing. People forget, like you were saying, Nate Diaz is a great fighter, first of all. Second of all, Dos Anjos got the golden ticket to fight Conor McGregor.
Yep.
And he threw
it
away. Beating Conor McGregor at this point, if someone ever does knock him off, they will become an instant legend. They will become Holly Holm status, at least.
Even
for
fighting
whoever
him, you become a millionaire.
Right? It is absurd. All right, and then going on to Ryan, this fight, I got to agree with you. I'm happy that Conor finally has an opponent. Now, granted, Nick would have been better at the trash talking, but I'm happy that Conor at least has an opponent that's
I don't know.
Somewhat
Nate's kind of like Nick with the trash talking. They're both
I was going to say it's close, but I'm happy he finally has someone that can talk crap good, too, and go back and forth. You know, Nate Diaz is probably one of the few fighters who could help. You know, granted, don't get me wrong, everyone's buying this card because of Conor McGregor, but I'm just saying
Nate's big too. He
might be one of the very few, he's the very few people in the sport who can replace someone on a card 2 weeks in and then actually help sell the bitch and probably do a better job selling it in those 2 weeks than who
him
the person was
originally
to fight. And I love it, right? He is like Chael Sonnen. Yeah. And then the second question, you know, was how do I see this fight playing out? I'm not going to lie. At the end of the day, you have to be a little worried. The fact that he went up 30 pounds to take a fight, you know, 2 weeks out.
He looks shredded, though. It's so big.
He does. You know, he does. Conor's huge. You know, and it's going to be interesting. He's finally fighting someone who he has a 2-inch shorter reach than. I was talking to someone the other day. The person doesn't really have much mixed martial arts knowledge at all, but I enjoy talking to the people that aren't really in the know and know a ton just because I like getting that general perspective, you know what I mean? The people who aren't hardcores. And, of course, they all know of both fighters with Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. And he had to say he was like, Conor McGregor's going up 30 pounds. He was like, I don't think he's going to win. He's moving up too much weight.
Staying at his natural weight.
Right. See, the average fan does not realize, you know, some people who don't know a lot don't realize how much weight, you know, the fighters cut. But, Ryan, to ask you this, question one, do you think this fight, you know, this card, how many pay-per-views do you think it will sell compared to the McGregor-Aldo fight? Will it sell more, less, about the same? And number two, if Conor is able to go up and beat someone 30 pounds, going from featherweight to welterweight like that, and fighting, do you think that victory will kind of, like, what do you think that will do to his career? How much do you think it will jump his legend status? How much will it grow? And with this victory, does that cement him, you know, with the top three, with the Fedor, Andersons, and GSPs of the world?
I think this victory definitely would put him top five. We have to see how the rest of his career plays out. But being able to jump up and beat a guy who is, you know, very highly rated at lightweight, might even have the lightweight title shot if it wasn't for Conor McGregor, and doing it all the way at 170, no one's ever had that big of a jump. And I think that if he does something like that, and if he's able to knock a guy like Nate Diaz out like he's been doing everyone else, because now the new thing is, oh, he just knocked out a bunch of midgets. No, this guy is absolutely powerful. He's a strong dude. This is his natural weight class. And you got to think, in fighting, in my opinion, in a lot of people's opinion, you would rather fight a bigger guy than a little speedy, strong guy. And I think Conor views it like that. I think he's very calculated. I think he chose Dos Anjos for a reason. I think he chose Nate for a reason. You know, I think that he's too fast for Nate. He has too good of a ring IQ. Nate, basically, he lives off getting people against the cage and doing that Stockton slap. He's not going to be able to hit McGregor like that or trap McGregor like that. Too good of footwork, too much power. There's going to be left hands and spinning kicks landing all over Nate Diaz. But to answer your question, that Aldo fight was the pinnacle. But I think every time McGregor fights now, the pay-per-views get bigger. More people know about him. And Diaz is just such a big name in mixed martial arts. Plus, you have Holly Holm, Miesha Tate to support it. Everyone wants to see what Holly's going to do. I think that this fight will surpass you know, the last one and be even bigger than the Jose Aldo and Chad Mendes fight to secure the fact that Conor McGregor is just that big. And he did say after UFC 200, he won't fight in Vegas. So after this, you got to think after 200, he's still on that winning streak. You got to say there's eventually a time where you got to do a stadium fight in Dublin. Or basically, he said you'd fight on the East Coast, but you got to do a big stadium fight while you have this guy. But I do think it outsells the Aldo fight. And I think legacy-wise, a lot of people would say, oh, this fight does nothing. I think it does a ton still. And like everyone's been saying, if Conor McGregor comes out and wins this fight, he's going to call out Robbie Lawler. Might as well shut off every other program on TV on UFC 200, because that would shut down the world. And if you're able to get Robbie Lawler against GSP with McGregor versus somebody else, UFC 200 will be absolutely the biggest. But this fight is huge, Andrew. Everyone wants to see the McGregor show. It's going to keep getting bigger and bigger. I just don't see how Nate Diaz can beat Conor McGregor.
I got to agree, Ryan. I got Conor over Nate. I'm definitely not as worried as RDA. I just think Conor's too good. It's going to be a great fight. It'll be very interesting to see. You know, both these fighters like to get in their opponent's head. And just some of the antics we've seen Nate Diaz pull in the ring. So watching it from a mental
talking to each other.
Standpoint, the mental standpoint is going to be great. What's Conor going to do when Nate's a foot away from him with his middle finger in his face? You know, I just cannot wait to see it. It's going to be an epic fight. And to Ryan, to touch on real quick, but to speak on, you know, if Conor wins and he calls out Robbie Lawler, first of all, I would have to say, you know, what respect I would have for Conor if he fought Robbie Lawler. If Conor was able to beat, and I'll make it quick, 5 minutes left. If Conor were to beat Robbie Lawler, in my opinion, that would catapult him to being the greatest martial arts fighter of all time. He would surpass Anderson. That would be the greatest thing I've ever seen. And you know what, Ryan? I can believe it happening. Real quick, I just did want to get it out there. What I hate about MMA this week, what I hate is Khabib. You know, he's always hating, always talking trash. You know, he refused to fight. I think McGregor, I think the reason why he refused to fight on some card because it was close to Namaste or something.
I get to see him in Tampa,
you know,
though.
That will be sick. But Khabib, you're a mixed martial arts fighter. You complain all the time. about how you deserve a title shot, this and that, and then you get the opportunity. McGregor, don't take it. And number two thing I really wanted to quick say, Steph Curry did it again. Coming into tonight, he was 62% Ryan, on shots.
Unbeatable.
He was 62% on shots that were 28 feet out. He hit a 35-footer at the end of overtime to win it. He's too good. Ryan, to finish it up with our 4 minutes, let me get what you hear about MMA this week. And
yes, sir. I hate UFC
and then
Fight Pass.
One last question.
Yeah, hold on. I hate UFC Fight Pass. And I also hate Jose Aldo. Stop going on. Accept your defeat. And don't go on Twitter and say, I'll fight Conor McGregor anytime, anywhere. That wasn't a real fight. And then deny the fight when you are given the opportunity. Same with you, Frankie Edgar. Stop complaining and bitching and just fucking fight. Get over it.
Yeah.
What was your question, sir?
Do you think that if Conor wins this fight and looks good, do you think he will ever go back down to 145?
I do not think he will go back down to 145. Let's face it, this guy's fighting at 170. If you look at him now, he truly looks like he should look. He was Skeletor at 145. After actually fighting at 170, I just don't see him wanting to ever make that cut again. Maybe a one-time deal, but I see him eventually just giving that belt up. He said it. It's about the McGregor weight. It's about the McGregor belt. I just don't see him ever caring. I don't see him really caring about fighting Frankie Edgar that bad. I just don't see him wanting to you know, really care that much. I got to say also, I think OKC really should have went hard after Joe Johnson. They really needed a guy like that on that team. They're just held back by being a two-way, two-dimensional team. I don't know what the rest of Ibaka and this Cantor getting paid that much are fucking doing on that team, but it's all Westbrook and Durant. It's just they needed another guy like Joe Johnson, who did sign with the Miami Heat. That's what I heard.
Yeah, Ryan, I was kind of, you know, why do you, if you were Joe Johnson, instead of going to the Heat, you know, I just didn't understand why, you know, Cleveland wanted him. They have a chance at winning a ring, even though I do think Golden State will win it. And a team like OKC, I wonder why he went to Miami.
I think Cleveland might have spent too much with stupid-ass Channing Frye. I think that might have been the problem. You know, he could have made, I think he maybe made more money with the Heat. And also, I know that him and Dwayne Wade and Bosh were all pretty good friends. Bosh is hurt. But the Heat are heating up. I think he looked at that team. They are in playoff contention. Dragic and Whiteside are playing phenomenal. I think he just saw more playing time. I don't think he wanted to get involved with that LeBron mess. If I was him, though, I think it would have been Oklahoma City. But I think he thinks, you know, on the Heat, I might get a long-term deal. Cleveland, I'm probably going to be one and done. OKC, who knows what's going to happen there. It's all about Durant. I think he sees the Heat, and he sees that that's his team of the future. No state tax, and he could get a pretty big deal as, you know, the new guy there. And I think he just adds more to that team. I think Boston would have been the other team you would have added a lot, and Oklahoma City, of course. But I think those are three teams that were really smart for him to sign. I just don't think he wanted to be part of the LeBron show.
No, they had a...
Andrew, real quick, I got